Scott Fitzgerald is on demand at WPTF.com.
Go to Michael Rubin, a senior editor of Middle East Quarterly and a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Michael, good morning and welcome to North Carolina's Morning News.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Appreciate you spending some time with us. 2009, 30 years ago, 1979, and quite a tumultuous time in Iran. Do you see some similarities between now and then?
Certainly. And not only between now and then, almost 10 years ago was the famous 1999 student uprising. The thing is, while I see similarities and other people see similarities, so does the regime. And so the people that are surrounding the Supreme Leader, Ali Khamenei, and President Ahmadinejad are going to be trying very hard not to allow that cycle of violence to get out of control. They're going to try to nip this thing in the bud before it can spread like the 1979 revolution.
How big of a mistake do you think it was to announce victory so soon? I mean, in the United States here, we got a pretty pretty sophisticated election and polling results. Our polling booths automated, et cetera. People were dropping pieces of paper into Tupperware, but yet they got the results back almost immediately and announced a 63% margin of victory. Does that just smack of a lie?
Well, there's certain things that do smack of a lie. I'm not sure whether that is the one. I've been an international election observer. This past December, I observed Bangladesh's election, which was also, if you will, a Tupperware election. And if you have enough vote counters, these things can be counted rather quickly. Each polling station might only have 5,000 votes. That said, what does not make sense is when you look at the breakdown from the Interior Ministry, they're talking about in some provinces 99.45% of the people participated in the elections. That simply does not pass the smell test.
No, it does not. And how could the opposition not even win in their own hometowns? I mean, Ahmadinejad's folks are saying that that he won even in their hometowns.
Indeed. The question here is specifically with regard to Iranian Azerbaijan, which is Mousavi, the challenger's hometown. And Ahmadinejad is saying, and the Interior Ministry is saying, not only did he win there, but he won in the central province of Yazd, which is former President Mohammad Khatami's hometown. And Mohammad Khatami, the former president, had campaigned hard for the challenger.
The authorities have been given permission, and the security forces given permission to fire live ammunition if the protesters get out of control. Is that going to play into the protesters' hands, and if so, how far?
Well, this is where we get to the parallels with the revolution, because what happens in Shia Islam is that you have cycles of mourning. Every 40 days after someone is killed, people come out into the streets again to commemorate the end of that person's mourning. During the 1979 revolution, each of those mourning periods turned into another cycle of protest. But what I expect we're going to have here now is what was perfected over the last couple years with some Chinese security consultants, which is a lot of taking pictures of people and then disappearing them off the streets over the next couple weeks. And we've already heard reports, for example, from Tehran University that 100 students are missing, and they're likely in prison, and we're not sure whether we will see them again.
Chances are that we probably will not. Twitter seems to be one of the few forms of media that's still available coming out of there. How long do you anticipate the clampdown on external television reporting to last?
I would expect it to last for another week or so. I was in Iran during the 1999 student protest. I remember seeing the rioters in the streets. I remember the cell phones getting cut off. And then what we had was a clampdown on media as things went national, and that lasted about 5 days. And the protests more or less ended. The streets calmed down when the Supreme Leader got on television to talk directly to the people. But this is also the time when so many people lost faith in the Islamic Republic because they saw at this point, for example, that Mohammad Khatami wasn't going to stand up for them.
What kind of faith do you think the people have now in the system and the regime as a whole?
Very little faith. But look, Iran is surprisingly a very cosmopolitan place, the Iranians, that is. However, in a country like the Islamic Republic, it's not the ordinary people that matter. Sovereignty doesn't come from the people. Ultimately, it's the guys with the guns that control things. And the key factor here that we should all be looking at is whether there's going to be any sign that the security forces and the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps are going to switch sides.
That is a real question. And what usually sways them? Is it the chance of staying alive, or is it the chance of staying in power?
A little bit of both, but we also have to remember that in September of 2007, there was a massive reorganization of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps when the theoreticians behind it determined that the chief threat to the regime was going to come from inside rather than outside. So they broke the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps up into 31 different units, one for each province, two for Tehran. But the important thing is they refused to allow any Revolutionary Guardsmen born in a province to be stationed in that province because they were afraid that if they were facing their neighbors, their family, and so forth, they wouldn't fire on them. However, because everyone has been mixed-matched, it's a lot easier for the Revolutionary Guards to simply open fire, and that's what we've been seeing.
Good enough.
Scott Fitzgerald, weekday mornings 5:30 to 9, News Talk 680 WPTF.